Welcome to Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I welcome you again. I trust that you have been much blessed and enlightened with this series of messages on a very special people, the Jews. Last week we considered how these people of the Jews suffered as no other people in all of history. That they suffered as a nation. Because they are Jews, they all collectively suffer. And last week we considered the diaspora, a word that which refers to the Jews in particular, how that through history of many thousand years, the Jews were singled out for this inhuman treatment. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to be chased out of your home and to be deported, another word for exported, except that you are chased out, away to a foreign land, perhaps a land you've never heard of, and to be separated from your home country by thousands of miles, not once, but repeatedly, as a people. Amazing. So that was called the diaspora. Today we go on to the rest of the story. From diaspora to Aliyah. Whereas there was a dispersal and scattering, now there is a regathering of the same people. Something quite unusual. For having settled for hundreds of years, even more than that, in a foreign land, suddenly you feel the urge. You want to go back to the land you came from. I was in Sydney in 1988 or so. And I met a doctor, one of the obstetricians in that city. And he said to me, "I want to say goodbye. Because next month, I'm going to Israel with my family." I was surprised. I said, "Why?" "Oh, because that is my homeland." Ah, I never suspected that this Aussie was a Jew. Because many of them do just look like any Europeans. In color, in features, you don't guess. He's a Jew. So he was ready to pull up his roots as a practicing gynecologist. He was going to a land he had never seen. He has no roots there, except that he knows Israel is my homeland. Why did he do it? Ah, that is the big question. It's more than just migration for migration's sake, because you get a better living. You don't. Because you go to a land where, firstly, you are a stranger, and you rebuild your foundations and rebuild your roots. Besides, in Israel, taxes are extremely high, and there is no security in that sense. And any time there was the fear of war outbreaking again, why should he return? When we went to Israel in 1992, and I was standing with our group at the Israel-Lebanese border, you know that Lebanon is north and Israel is south. So as we looked to the north, I saw a few Israeli soldier boys, and I got to talk to them. I said, "Where do you come from?" "Oh, New York." "Ah, why did you come?" "Because there is an urge." Just like that. So he was there carrying a gun, defending his country. This homecoming, as it were, is more than just migrating. But there is a superior force, a supernatural force, working in the hearts of Jews around the world. After the diaspora, what hopes? But you know, the diaspora was of God. So is the Aliyah, the regathering. God was behind both. For God had called Abraham, "Abraham, leave your home country, and I will make you a blessing. You will become a great nation." So became a great nation. After 2,000 years of diaspora, when the Jews were dispersed to the four corners of the world, in 1948, May the 14th, Ben Gurion declared the new nation of Israel. Amazing. How did it happen? Fact is stranger than fiction. I always say this, and I say it again. Anyone who does not believe in God, if he were to study the history of the Jews with an open mind to accept truth and facts that are stranger than fiction, he will come to the conclusion there is a God who is behind all these movements of people. How from one person, Abraham, there grew to date a nation of about estimated 15 million. Not a great number. We Chinese are 1,000, and now they say maybe 500 million. 1,000 and 500? Jews, 15. And yet their history tells a story you are compelled to believe and accept. God is behind all these human movements. Now this is taken from Time magazine, April 4th, 1988. So it is, how many years? 32 years out of date. Nevertheless, it tells you that this event is of world importance, that Time magazine chose to have this Israel 40 years in its front cover. And the 40 years of achievement are also 40 years of conflict, as you may know. After thousands of years of dispersal, comes the regathering. This is the Aliyah. From all parts of the world, they came streaming back to Israel. And here I would like to direct your attention to the prophecy in Isaiah's book, chapter 43, so that we may understand God has a purpose. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Isaiah's book, before Jeremiah and after Song of Solomon. All right, verse 5. God is speaking here. And he says, I am the Lord thy God. Fear not. I am with thee. Who is he speaking to? To his people, the Jews. And he says, I will bring thy seed. Your descendants who have been dispersed by the diaspora. That diaspora is only a sad chapter in the history of the Jews. They are plucked out of their homeland, implanted in many foreign countries. Even in China, there was an article 2 days ago. It was discovered there is a pocket of Jews somewhere in Henan, China. And they almost forgot, but they did not forget. No, they don't forget. You know, the Jews are a different people. We Chinese emigrate far and wide, all parts of the world full of Chinese, right? But we all become Singaporeans, Malaysians, Indonesians, Americans, whatever. We assimilate. You know what is assimilate? You become like the sons of the soil. Like in Thailand, all the Chinese adopt Thai names. Indonesia, they adopt Indonesian names. So you have a lot of Wijaya, but they are Chinese. Tan Temet in Bangkok is a Mr. Tan, because the Tan Temet. Assimilate, they are absorbed, but not the Jews. They continue to remember. They are different. And they continue to teach their children the customs and traditions. And many of them will every year hope perhaps next year in Jerusalem, hoping against hope. And of course, many of them just die in a foreign land, but their children keep on observing the traditions and the customs, and always with the hope next year in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the golden, our home city, the capital. They have that hope. But when the time comes, God says, verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 43, fear not, I am with thee. I will bring your seed, your descendants from the east. Look at the map. Where are they coming from? East, west, north, south. How come? It's written in Isaiah's wonderful prophecy. Wonderful prophecy. Thousands of years before it happens, it is written. For this reason, anyone with an open mind reading will say, amazing. God must have done it. There is a God. Let me turn to God. This must be the logical conclusion, except people refuse. They chose to believe that they came from apes and monkeys. And tracing back the years of time and chance, where did they begin? Not the monkey, but from some primeval pool of dirt and muck, and came first as an amoeba, one cell. And that one cell became a 6 trillion cell human being with systems that are so wonderful, all by what? Time and chance. And people choose to believe that. But here it says no. The Jews are returning not because of chance, not because of time, but because of God. Does this strengthen your faith, dear friends? Do you believe in God? Here is the God of creation working out His perfect plan for one man, Abraham, out of whom came one nation. Today, this nation is creating waves around the world, because the whole security and the peace of the world hinges so much on what happens in Israel. Amazing. And God is in the midst of all these peace talks. Have you seen the Straits Times? Peace talks again. How many times have they talked? So many times they've lost count. And who is the peacemaker? The self-appointed president of the United States. Started with Reagan, with Clinton, with Carter, the present one is Obama. They all chose to be peacemakers. But the peacemaker has not come. Who is the peacemaker? The Prince of Peace. Oh, dear friends, He is our Lord, our Savior. And for that, we must always thank Him. You have Him as your Savior, your Redeemer, the one who called us out of darkness, the one who called Israel out of one man to be a nation. Here he says, continue to read. Verse 6, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 6. I will say to the north, give up. Give up what? The Jews. They're my people from the north. Look at the map again. From the north they will come. God is calling my friend from Sydney, the man from New York. So many others were flocking back to Israel. At the height of the immigration, 200,000 a year came back from Russia. Amazing. Over 1 million Jews returned to Israel from Russia alone. Why did they do it? You have the answer? Oh God. Verse 6. I will say to the north, to the Russians, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Verse 7. From everyone that is called by my name. Do you know that the name Israel was given by God to Jacob? Jacob, from now on, I change your name to Israel. What does Israel mean? Prince of God. Or God fighters. God fights. It is the name of God given to a people. Verse 7. Everyone that is called by my name, a Jew. For salvation is of the Jews. We know that. Yes. Salvation does not come from our own volition or by some great Savior from somewhere. Salvation is of God by the Jews. What Jew? Jesus Christ. How come? God sent him, his own son, Jesus, born a Jew, that he should die for our sakes, to redeem us back to God. Verse 7, second part. For I have created him for my glory. Who is him? Israel. For my glory I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Let him return to the land that I have designated for him. So this is the prophecy in Isaiah 43. Now let's look at a few more of these OHPs. Remember this map of a supernatural happening. And the Jews kept coming in. 20,000 every month in Tel Aviv airport. Why should this old Jew come? Trying to look for his baggage in Tel Aviv airport. And he's looked. Look at the sea of baggage and baggages. Where did they come from? Russia. All the Russian Jews want to go back. Why? And this old man, having lived all his life in Russia, many of them do not even know any Hebrew at all. Why do they come? So here he is. He's looking around, searching. By the way, those who travel, nowadays all the bags look the same. Remember, always tie a ribbon of your own choosing, your own color. Tie something to identify, then you not lose your bag. Or why should a professor of music come to Israel and sit on the streets playing an accordion so that some passerby will give him a dollar or a shekel or 10 shekels? Why? Why not remain in Russia and be the professor of music instead of being a busker playing? Fact is, stranger than fiction. Oh, to come to a foreign land and find there's nothing else I can do except be a beggar, sitting on the streets and hoping for some kind soul. This they are willing to do just because God said, let the north surrender my people, the east and the west and the south, let them all come back. So they have replenished the land. At the beginning of last century, there were no more than maybe 50,000. Today there are 5 million in Israel. But you know that the Jews outside of Israel are more in number than the Jews in Israel. In United States of America alone, there are 6 million Jews. Israel, 5 million. So there are more Jews in the United States. Of course, they do not want to emigrate. Who wants to go? America is so prosperous, secure, beautiful, easy life, comfortable and secure. Why do I want to go? But there are enough to go back to their homeland. Now it is not easy. The Arabs are not short of land. In fact, they have more land, thousands of times more land than the peanut of the Israel country. You know how big is Israel? Only 10% of Peninsular Malaysia. 10%. Yeah. Small little country. How much land has the Arabs? thousands of times more, but they do not want to yield that land to the Jews. They have a policy, no peace, no negotiation, and our only objective is to wipe them off the map of the world, or to push them all into the Mediterranean Sea, that they will all drown. So that is Arab feeling. How come? Why is there so much hatred? You see, of course, the Palestinians have been deprived of their own homeland. True, yes, they were there, but now the Jews have come from overseas and claimed the land. So there is a lot of injustice and hurt and pain. Amazing. But you know that this animosity and enmity started in the tummy of Rebecca when she was carrying twins. Esau and Jacob were in her abdomen, and they were already wrestling and kicking and fighting non-stop until mother couldn't take it, went to ask God, "Lord, what is happening in my tummy?" And God says, "Rebecca, you are harboring inside two nations." Amazing. Now this is recorded in scripture. Two peoples, Arabs and Israeli, are in your abdomen. They are already beginning the fight. How do you expect that kind of thing to be settled by Mrs. Clinton or Obama or any other person? Come and say, "Kamala, don't be stubborn. Shake hands." I say, "You may shake hands, but the other hand is carrying a gun." Until the heart is changed, until there is goodwill in the heart, how can you talk peace? So you watch the present peace talks. Peace talks come and go. They are now on. This was the earlier peace talk. Who was bartering the peace, trying to broker the peace? Who? President Carter. Who are on his left and right? On his right is, do you recognize him? President Sadat, who flew there and flew back to be assassinated because the Arabs don't like it. On his left, who is that? Prime Minister Begin. Make peace. Lose your life. The peace broke in no time. Now, today, same thing is happening. This is Hillary Clinton, and now on your right is Benjamin Netanyahu, yeah, the Israeli Prime Minister, and on the left is Mr. Mahmoud Abbas, Palestinian President. Now watch. Look at Straits Times. It's going on now. Will there be peace? We like to hope that there will be peace. Who wants war? Because that war may flare up any time, and the contestants may not even be these people who are talking, but there is Iran pressing on, hurrying with the making of the atom bomb. And as soon as they have nuclear weapons, they are going to wipe off Israel from the map. This is their desire. Where will peace come from? How will it come? How can it be? I say, dear friends, we are living in perilous times. The wars never end. Five wars have raged. 1948, when Israel declared they were a nation, Egypt and Syria and Iraq, or Jordan, yes, they invaded Israel. That was the War of Independence, 1948. Who won? Israel was poorly equipped. It was a small, outnumbered people. The enemy, the Arabs, were many times more, both in personnel as well as in armaments. But one factor, God was fighting for His people. They beat the Arabs. Next war, the same thing, 1956 Sinai War. And the most disastrous war was 1967, Six-Day War. The shortest war in history. There is no war that lasted 6 days. And the net result was Israel increased its territory 400%. Amazing. How did it happen? It is a case of David versus Goliath. A tiny little nation, just barely able to stand on its feet, to defeat a much bigger enemy who came with full confidence, we are going to just wipe it off, push it into the sea, and you disappear. No. 1968, war of attrition. 1973, the Arabs almost won this war, almost. Because by cunning, they played it on the day of Yom Kippur. What is Yom Kippur? Day of Atonement. The day when the nation of Israel goes into deep soul searching. Atonement for all their sins. When the army boys are all in the synagogues, cannot fight because it is Yom Kippur. Ah, the Arabs felt, now this is our chance. And by surprise, while they were still pretending to be friendly, they attacked. They almost well overcame the Israelis. But what? But God. God spared them. So, in football terms, what is the net result? The score is 5-0. To Israel, 5 times victory. To the Arabs, 0. Gosho. Now, what is in the future? Do you know? My dear friends, let us read the Word of God. Matthew chapter 24 is our concluding chapter. The Word of God is amazing. Do you read the Word of God, dear friends? We don't read it for fun, you know. It is the Word of wisdom, the Word of life, a light to your path, a lamp to your feet, and it shows you the meaning of life. And it tells you what comes in the future. This is the most timely and applicable. You want to know about the future? How many of you do look into horoscopes? I'm told American businessmen, majority consult their horoscopes regularly, to know which day is a lucky day to do business and to make money. Horoscopes tell the future. My friends, the future is known to God, who knows the end from the beginning and who declares it in this book. And here it is, better than any horoscope. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. You want to know the future? Here it is. Free of charge. You don't have to pay the fortune teller to tell you. Go to Chinatown, they have the little birds that come and pick up the cards and they read to you, "Wonderful, your fortune is told today." And you go away feeling pretty happy. Jesus says in verse 32, "Learn a parable of the fig tree." The fig tree is a symbol of Israel. It says here, "When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves," what do you see in that sentence? You know, it is summer. It's not winter. It's not spring. The same verse. "You know that summer is nigh." So, verse 33, "Likewise you, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." Now that gives you a clue. Did you see the fig tree springing into life after 2,000 years? I told you, 1948. New nation, Israel, is born again. 1948. How soon will the second coming of Jesus be after 1948? You say, "Wow, already 62 years. Surely this is wrong." Right? Dear friends, with God, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. What do you mean by that? Can you take a calculator and now say 62 years equal how many years in prophetic clock? No, that is not the meaning of it. God, who gave this, inhabits eternity. We are in time. We all wear watches and watch the time. Because we are in the solar system, God is not in the solar system. God is above in heaven. And all these systems work beneath. The solar system is one system. And we go watching the clock as the globe, the world rotates. Every rotation is 24 hours. And then every revolution around the sun is 1 year. It's gone around the year 62 times since Israel became a nation. Is 62 times long? To God it is nothing. So we cannot try to calculate in that way. How do we calculate? Do you know how? Are you calculating now? I say the way to anticipate the coming again of Jesus Christ is to be ready anytime. That's all. Ready meaning occupy till I come. Do His will. You know what His will is? Do it. Don't go to the casino. And don't go fooling around as though this earth is the only future you have. The earth is but a passing through. Now read on. Verse 33. "Verily I say unto you, this generation of the time of the prediction shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Amen. The other signs given in this very important, crucial chapter of 24 of Matthew starts off with false Christs, false prophets, famines, earthquakes, pestilences, all kinds. All these have taken place. Did you read Sunday Times this morning? Earthquake! Where? New Zealand! 7.1 Richter. very powerful earthquake. What does it say to you? Chapter 24, verse 7. Earthquakes. The earth trembles when the Lord is coming. Be ready, therefore. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away, says the Lord. Trust in His word and in His promise. The Lord is coming, and He will not delay a minute, but He will not hurry a minute. He has His own timetable. Do you know? Are you ready? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant us spiritual eyesight to see that Thy prophetic clock is ticking away and the times truly are perilous as we see the signs, the sign of the fig tree putting forth leaves, the sign of Israel growing to be a modern nation and a people, the sign of the fig tree telling us summer is here, Jesus is on the way. May your people be ready. Forsake our any kind of wrong practice. O Lord, save us, that we may be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord until He comes. Amen.